Chapter 7. Sean came home on the following Friday afternoon. He had a black eye, not a fresh one. It was already turning green round the edges of the bruise. Sean was very reticent on the subject of how he had obtained it. He brought with him also a clutch of fly-catcher's eggs, which he gave to Garrick, a live, red-lipped snake in a cardboard box, which Ada immediately condemned to death, despite Sean's impassioned speech in its defence, and a bow carved from Msenga wood, which was, in Sean's opinion, the best wood for a bow. His arrival wrought the usual change in the household of the Eunice Crowell. More noise, more movement, and more laughter. There was a huge roast for dinner that evening, with potatoes baked in their jackets. Those were Sean's favourite foods, and he ate like a hungry python. "Don't put so much in your mouth," Waite remonstrated from the head of the table, but there was a fondness in his voice. It was hard not to show favouritism with his sons. Sean accepted the rebuke in the spirit it was given.
"Pa, Fricky Oberholster's bitch had pups this week, 6 of them."
"No," said Ada firmly.
"Gee, Ma, just one."
"You heard your mother, Sean." Sean poured gravy over his meat, cut a potato in half, and lifted one piece to his mouth. It had been worth a try. He hadn't really expected them to agree.
"What did you learn this week?" Ada asked.
That was a nasty question. Sean had learnt as much as was necessary to avoid trouble, no more.
"Oh, lots of things," he replied airily, and then, to change the subject, "Have you finished Garrick's new leg yet, Pa?"
There was a silence. Garrick's face went expressionless, and he dropped his eyes to his plate. Sean put the other half of the potato in his mouth and spoke around it.
"If you have, me and Garrick can go fishing up the falls tomorrow."
"Don't talk with your mouth full," snapped Waite with unnecessary violence.
"You've got the manners of a pig."
"Sorry, Pa," Sean muttered. The rest of the meal passed in uneasy silence, and as soon as it finished, Sean escaped to the bedroom. Garry went with him, hopping along the passage with one hand on the wall to balance himself.
"What's Pa so mad about?"
Sean demanded resentfully as soon as they were alone.
"I don't know."
Garrick sat on the bed.
"Sometimes he just gets mad for nothing, you know that."
Sean pulled his shirt off his head, screwed it into a ball and threw it against the far wall.
"You better pick it up, else there'll be trouble," Garrick warned mildly.
Sean dropped his pants and kicked them after the shirt. This show of defiance put him in a better mood. He walked across and stood naked in front of Garrick.
"Look," he said with pride. "Hairs."
Garrick inspected them. Indisputably, they were hairs.
"There aren't that very many."
Garrick couldn't disguise the envy in his voice.
"Well, I bet I got more than you have," Sean challenged. "Let's count them."
But Garrick knew himself to be an outright loser. He slipped off the bed and hopped across the room. Steadying himself against the wall, he stooped and picked up Sean's discarded clothing. He brought it back and dropped it in the soiled linen basket beside the door. Sean watched him, and it reminded him of his unanswered question.
"Has Pa finished your leg yet, Garry?"
Garry turned slowly. He swallowed and nodded once, a quick, jerky movement.
"What's it like? Have you tried it yet?"
The fear was on Garrick again. He twisted his face from side to side as though seeking an escape. There were footsteps in the passage outside the door. Sean dived at his bed and snatched up his nightgown, pulled it over his head, and slit between the sheets. Garrick was still standing beside the clothes basket when Waite Courtney came into the room.
Come on, Gary, what's holding you up? Garrick hurried across to his bed, and Waite looked at Sean. Sean grinned at him, with all the charm of his good looks, and Waite's face softened into a grin also. Nice to have you home again, boy. It was impossible to be angry with Sean for long. He reached out and took a handful of Sean's thick black hair. Now, I don't want to hear any talking in here after the lamp's out. Do you understand? He tugged Sean's head from side to side gently, embarrassed by the strength of his feeling for his son.